Good morning, everyone. It is great to see you guys here this morning. We definitely will have a different morning than we've had. We've got a lot of stuff going on and some curveballs thrown at us this week. So I'll make you aware of that here just in a minute, but I just want to get through some of these announcements that I've got because we've got a bunch. Reminder that if you are an older person in the community, you need a food basket and would enjoy some of that, or you have gifts that you need for your 18 and under child and need a little bit of assistance there, there are forms behind the sound booth on the table out in the narthex. Please get those, pick those up, fill them out, and get them in. They need to be in by the 19th so that we can get those turned in and everything can work like clockwork. Also, we have a virtual Thanksgiving service on the 22nd. That information will be here and available on how you can participate in that and log into that next Sunday. So if you're looking for that, we will have that for you then. Remember that our Thanksgiving offering is going to go this year to help out with people in the community through the Ministerial Association. We do an incredible work through them that allows us to help them keep their lights on and meet their needs both physically and spiritually. We also have a new service starting on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. here at the church. Now, here's the rules for that. This is a fully masked service, and you will maintain social distancing as required. You'll be able to come on in and sit down and then exit following service. It will be different than what you're used to, but maybe today is kind of like a preview of what you'll see, because we've got some things that'll be a little bit different with that, but you guys will have an opportunity to enjoy some time together and worship. If you're afraid to come due to the mask, no mask thing, we have a service available for you there. One of the things that we have today that's going to be a little bit different is for worship today, we have videos that we're going to utilize, and that may cause us a little bit of a problem with those of you who are following on Facebook or on YouTube due to the fact that they might boot us out. We don't know how this is going to work yet. This is going to be new for us this morning, but we're going to have those videos for worship this morning. So if we lose you, Scott will take care of getting us right back as quickly as we can so that you are connected with us during that time. So also, we've got this one last announcement. If you haven't made lunch plans, today's the 15th of November, correct? All right. There is a fundraiser that is going on for Tiffany Miller. It's going to be a drive-through brat or hot dog meal at the County Farm Bureau across the way. So if you haven't made lunch plans and you're thinking about what am I going to do, Muriel, cook Carl a bratwurst, just go across over there, make a donation to them. It's going to help this young lady who has had a lot of struggles in her life. And part of the struggle that she has had is in order to keep and maintain her job, which she shows up to faithfully every day, she had to move out of her living arrangement because they were going to lock that down and not let people in and out. So she do it because of COVID, and she is a hardworking individual, but they need to help her purchase a car. And so there's some people who are working together to make that happen. So if you'd like to do that and help out today from 11 to 2 at the Carroll County Farm Bureau parking lot, there are people cooking and going to serve up some food for a donation there. All right, I think that's all I got for announcements. Anything else I'm missing, David? Nope. Good. All right, we're going to open with a word of prayer. And since we've got videos and stuff going on, that's going to be a little bit different. You guys can sing along right where you're at if you want to remain seated. And we hope that those of you who are online can remain with us. But if not, you'll be back in time for the sermon. So let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this day that you've given to us. It's another day. It's another day full of challenges. It's another day in which we get up with one thing in common. Today is a day that I will trust you, Lord. Each and every one of us get up, and as long as we have that attitude and we have that outlook in life, it's a beautiful thing. that we can face each day knowing that you are there with us and that you are there for us and you'll provide all that we need. Lord, we ask that you'd be with all those who are sick right now. We pray that you'd heal them up and make them well. Lord, for those who are struggling with cancer, talking with a few people this morning, they're like, yep, we're facing it and we're doing better and we're getting stronger. And that's a wonderful praise. Lord, there are several people that we know that have faced COVID down, and some are able to be here this morning, and some are out of the hospital and home. And Lord, we thank you for the strength that you're giving to them and making that possible. And Lord, for those who have lost loved ones, we ask that you would walk with them and encourage them, and that you'd be by their side, as you promised you always would be. Lord, I just ask that today would be a day in which we can worship you and enjoy you fully, and that you'll be pleased with us. In the wonderful name of Jesus we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Blessed assurance, flesh is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. My story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song.
My soul, praising my.
Careful what you pray, careful what you ask for. Most transformational, scary words ever. Lord, have your way with me. That is a sign of trust and obedience, an absolute surrender. It is what we are called to do as those who are relying on Him to save us from the mess we're in and redeem ourselves from who we are and who we've been and transform us into the image of Christ. Lord, have your way with me. Let's pray. Father God, we live in a time that surprises us and shocks us, but it has not taken you by surprise nor shocked you. It is a time that is so uncertain and seems to be spiraling out of control, and the truth is, it's because man is grasping at straws trying to gain control instead of living their lives open-handed to receive what you have. We are trying to create and fashion what you have promised to give. And because of that, we are grasping and clawing for the things of man and not rejoicing and receiving the things of God. So this morning, Lord, we do come before you, and we throw what we have at your feet and say, have your way with us. Bring your peace, bring your rest, bring your life that you have desired to give to each and every one of us. And allow us the courage to say, here I stand, here I kneel, here I bow before my Savior and my Lord and my King. And may you do in our lifetime things that we thought were impossible. But may we always be reminded to be careful what we ask for, because ultimately, what our hearts desire to be with you changes absolutely everything. And it's all possible because of the wonderful name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. We have so much division taking place in our nation right now that math teachers are getting tired of it. People are being divided up by color and sexual preference and gender and geography and political parties and ideas and wants and desires, that it seems like the incredible dream of one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all, is cracking, falling apart at its seams, like the Statue of Liberty at any given moment will explode into a shrapnel as it explodes and the copper that it's made of begins to melt into the sea. You see, the human race seems to be lumping itself into a spreadsheet of categories, dividing us up into further smaller bits instead of us becoming really that one nation under God. We are column and rowing ourselves into sinking slave ships of distrust, despair, and demonization of one another. Instead of being enlightened and free, we are becoming dumber and more divided than the dirt we've been formed from. People have stopped trusting and believing in the truth and started believing in things that scratch where they itch. More and more people are leaving the right things and the hard things and that the things that are best for others behind and chasing after things that serve themselves and themselves alone. In their process of reasoning, they have rejected God and the truths found in Scripture and have gone to the truths found in Facebook and social media. They have stopped trusting God as the solution to man's problems and have turned to men to fix mankind's ills. And that will bring control. It will bring colonization of our lives, not colonization, but colonization. Everyone sits in their individual row and place. And it's going to bring destruction. This has led us like a runaway train towards a cliff of our own choosing, the wall of our own demise. There was a movie one time I saw that was kind of crazy. It was weird. And this guy had built this car, and it was powered by a jet engine. And it had one switch that you flipped up, and you punched a button, and all of a sudden this thing took off on its rails. And at the end of the rail was a big wall with a big smiley face painted on it, and it had "Have a nice day" written above it. But once you hit the button, there were no brakes to stop it. And the wall was the ultimate demise. You see, man can't fix its own problems because man's broke. And broke can't fix broke. It can only reveal brokenness. And the solution has to come from a standard far outside ourselves and our own reasoning, standards that are way beyond our own ability to perform. They must be God's ways, not man's ways. And we must turn from our self-serving and wicked and evil ways and turn back to the only one who can save us from ourselves. Because we're seeing the once greatest nation ripping itself apart at the seams. Like a meth addict picking at scabs and sores and itching invisible things that aren't there, it seems like we're bent on ripping ourselves apart. But there's some things very important to us. Number one, we must trust God, and the good news is that we can. We can trust Him with everything. We can trust Him in any situation. We can trust Him with all that we have. Because our God is faithful, our God is fair, and our God sits on the throne. He has not been moved. He has not been overthrown, and He never will. He is seated fairly and squarely. Now, here's what's interesting about that, is no one sits on God's throne and no one sits in God's place. And what's interesting is if you read Scripture and you look at it, Jesus Himself doesn't sit in God's seat. Even though He is God, He sits at the Father's right hand and He intercedes for us. He reaches out to Him and He is there to intercede for us and help us in our times of need. But He doesn't sit on Dad's throne. He sits off to the side where He belongs. Not subservient, but as faithful servant of God Most High. It was interesting. I watched this little thing yesterday, and I was bored to tears. And I found this little thing, and I was watching it. And anybody in here Game of Thrones people? Anybody watch Game of Thrones? There's like exactly one of you. So the rest of you just have to follow along with my illustration, whether you like it or not. But in the Game of Thrones, there's this big throne, and it's made of swords, and it's where this, I guess, this ruler sits, right? Well, what was interesting is Queen Elizabeth went and visited the set where this is filmed and saw this throne. And she's staring at this throne and she's looking at it and she's kind of thinking, well, probably that's uncomfortable or who would want to sit on that or anything else. And the people, the actors were going, is she going to sit on it? Is she going to sit on it? Is she going to sit on the throne? That'd be such a cool pick, wouldn't it? Just to sit here and see her sitting on there. But there's a law, a rule for royalty that she can never, ever, ever, ever sit on a throne that is not hers. There's only one throne she's allowed to sit on. So she never sat. And everybody was like. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Mankind will never sit in God's place. We must always allow God to sit on his throne in heaven and on earth and in our lives. Because when we take his spot, we bring destruction upon ourselves. And I love the fact that God is faithful and fair and he sits on his throne because he sits there and he intercedes for us. I love Matthew 7:7-12. It says this, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, is going to give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Even you, then, if you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets." Now, I liked everything up until that last little bit. Man, I love that whole thing about, man, you go to God and you knock and you ask and he provides. I love that. That is so awesome. And it's true. But you know what? Too many people are knocking on the wrong doors. They're knocking on the doors of presidents and country and men and women. They're knocking on the doors of feelings. And I don't feel that God would punish me for this. They're knocking on the door of self-help books and popular opinions. And you know what? None of those are God's door. We need to knock on God's door and trust whatever he hands us through it. Because God is always fair and he always gives us what we need, not always what we want. And he always gives you exactly what you can handle, whether you think you can or not. But remember this, when the day is done and his kingdom comes, he's still on his throne. He's still on his throne. And we have to be careful what we ask for. God, bring all mankind of unkind together under the umbrella of your love and bring us and unite us. And anybody that's not, well, Lord, have your way with them as well. That's a big, big ask. But until that day comes when his kingdom comes and he's still on his throne, we need to act and we are expected to act a certain way until his kingdom is established in our presence. Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:43-48, "You have heard what is said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that?" And then he says these nasty words. "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Be perfect. He doesn't say be socially acceptable. Doesn't say be a chameleon and be okay with this group and that group. Because I tell you what, both groups are wrong if they're not his group. And his group says be perfect. And that's going to be that is a tall ask right there from him to us. But don't we ask him to help us be that? And don't we ask him to give us all we need and all we desire? Those are some extremely high standards that he places upon us. Love your enemies. Pray for your persecutors and be perfect. Standards so high, only God himself was able to pull them off. And how did Jesus treat sinners like us? Those who persecuted him, nailed him to a cross, those who denied them? He loved them. He laid his life down for him. He died so that they could have the possibility of living. It doesn't guarantee that everybody's going to choose to accept his terms. But it does open the door that everybody has a chance to do so. You know, I want all dogs don't go to heaven. Some go to the pound and some get put down. Right? See, there's too much in Scripture that says that there is a hell and there is a place where those who reject Jesus Christ are going. And you know what? Jesus stood in the way and said, whoa, you don't have to go. You can come to heaven and be with me. But still people choose to go to hell. We need to stand in the way. We need to tell them there's another way, another place. But you know what? Some people fell at his feet for sure, but most everybody turned their backs on him. 11 of the 12, right? 11 of the 12 originals made it. At the end of 3.5 years, there was 120 or so people huddled together in an upper room, hiding out, saying, what have we gotten ourselves into? What are we going to do, right? They're hiding out thinking, we said we're going to follow him. Are we going to do this or not? How can we do this? And the Holy Spirit comes and they go out and they change the world. Where were the 5,000 men plus women and children who sat on the hillside and Red ate his lunch? When all that took place, they were gone. But one of the things for sure is no matter whether we're part of the 11 or we're the 12th one, or the 120 or the 5,000 or you and me today, is God desires that we do what is right and let him sort things out in the end. It's not your responsibility and it's not mine, it's his. But what he does say is love live perfectly. Matthew 16, 24 through 27. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. Verse stirs up stuff and controversy, don't it? God's going to reward us for the things that we've done. Doesn't that sound like works? Doesn't that sound like he's going to examine each one of us and say, John, you deserve this, and Muriel, I'm going to give you that, and Deanna, I'm going to throw this your way, and Patty, you're so sweet and so kind and so nice, you get all of that and more. You know, doesn't it sound like he's got us figured out and tallied out on some kind of sheet? You see, that's what Martin Luther didn't like. He wanted to throw out the book of James with everything he could. He's like, this, I can't make sense of this, so it deserves to be thrown out. But ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing. God does not deny faith, nor does he deny works. Matter of fact, he says that we are all saved by faith in Jesus Christ through his grace and his mercy and love. And that should produce into us works, things that we do that catch his eye. It's not just about us, my friends. It's not just about us getting into heaven. It's about making sure that we've done everything possible so everyone around us goes with us. Those are the things he rewards. See, here's the thing. Christ followers, when Jesus comes back, they will receive their just reward from God. Pure and simple. Pure and simple. They won't. Their reward is not eternity with Jesus. There's things he's going to do that put crowns on our heads and all these things, and it's just kind of confusing. Go read Revelation for a few times, and if you get it all figured out, come back and we'll sit down and talk about it. But the interesting thing is, for some reason, he's got the reward of eternal life that we receive through faith in him that we are all granted, but then there's something else there that he looks at what we've done with what he's given us in this lifetime, and he says, man, he says, you're getting a little upgrade on your house, right? I'm sitting there and thinking, I just give me a tree to lay under, Jesus, in heaven. And he's going, well, he said, you can have better if you want. But you know what? To those who reject Christ, they will too receive their just reward. You see, they by faith have chosen not to follow Jesus Christ. And they by faith have chosen to go to hell instead of going to heaven. And what they will receive is not a great existence. Because guess what? Everybody on this side of the room, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. Everybody on this side of the room, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. Everybody watching online and whoever watches this over, you know, doesn't skip over it, like probably when they see my face they should, but you're going to spend eternity somewhere. And you decide by faith whether it's with God, with Jesus forever, or with hell forever. But God does pay attention, because he says, be perfect and love others and pray for even those who hate you. You know, my sermon standard for funerals where I don't know the person, you guys heard me say this over and over again, God will be fair with whatever decision this person has made in their lifetime. My job is not to preach someone into heaven and out of hell or assign them a place in hell. That's God takes care of that. My job is to talk to you all right now with, this is your reality for your future, death. And you'll stand before God. Now let's talk about that. That's all I can do. God will be fair with whatever decision you make. But here's some things. You got to make a decision about what you're going to do about Jesus with your life. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And the only way that any of this gets sorted out. And he's either going to sort you out into one pile or the other. You need to decide what you're going to do for Jesus once you've decided to follow him with your life. Are you just going to slide into heaven smelling like smoke? Or are you going to sit there and you're going to actually do something with the life he's given you to make a difference in this world so people quit ripping it apart? 3, you are required by God and the love and grace and mercy that he's extended to you to love everyone else. And you know what? Some of us step on that last nerve a little harder than others, and we need to love a little deeper and a little harder, because we are putting one another's lives to stretch us and grow us. And we are also looked at according to how we have used what God has given to us. Now, don't forget the giving of the talents and the giving of the gifts and all those things and how we use them. Jesus talks about those things too. What you do with what you got and how you love and how you live matters, folks. It does. So don't play games. Don't play Christian. Follow Christ. And be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Romans 14:12. Brings this back around the corner. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. You're going to give an account. All of it. The good, the bad, the ugly. You know, for some reason, I think God has QuickBooks or a ledger sheet or what is it, Excel spreadsheets on all of us that sits there and says, you know what? This is what you were given. This is what you've got. And this is what you did. And explain it. See, God is aware of every millisecond of our existence and knows us better than we know ourselves. And he will call all the inhabitants of the earth into an account one day. Remember, careful what you ask for. God, bring us all together. The only way that we're all together is if we're all together under him. And those who aren't under his authority and control and reject him, well, they are under his authority and control, and they will be rejected by him. That's why it's so important for us to share the gospel with lost people. Because your children, your husband, your wife, your family, your friends are going to go into an eternal existence in hell without God and without you. People are all in uproar. We might not be able to get together for Thanksgiving. We might not be able to get together for Christmas. How? 2 days, right? You're worried about 2 stinking days. What about eternity without those people? What about them? I'm getting preachy. But when I remember he separates us into a sheep pen or a goat pen and sends one of them off to the slaughter, it makes me worry. And when he judges the works that we've accomplished for him and rewards us accordingly, he also judges the works of the people who have rejected him and rewards them accordingly as well. And you know, what we do for him until we get there will add to our experience, but it also impacts the experience of the people in this world and might change their mind about him. You know, all the things that are going on right now could be God. Could be. As we're watching people fight in the streets and beat each other for political beliefs and where they feel based on colors of skin, God might be using it to draw the church out of its hobbit hole back into the world to be able to take his love to the streets and to the people who are lost. Because he is calling the world into accountability, and he did it before and he's going to do it again. You see, it was a while ago, but here's something when God is in control, when he sends something upon us. Remember Noah and the ark? The world had grown so wicked, one of the things that happened was God sent a flood on the earth. Genesis 7:4-7, God says to Noah, 7 days from now I'll send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I'll wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons and wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. And they were the only ones who lived and survived. All the rest got piled into the sediment basins that scientists used to try to dismiss God. But it shows up where God shows up and he brings judgment upon the earth. The world was growing in wickedness and away from God. And at the Tower of Babel, he saw what mankind was accomplishing and what was going on. And he says, you know what, I'm gonna confuse their languages and they won't be able to accomplish this yet. And he flooded the earth. He confused their languages. And Sodom and Gomorrah, he brought judgment down on the because of a variety of sins. But you know what the main course was? Because they were neglecting widows and orphans and people in need. He was going to send destruction upon Nineveh, but he warned them first by sending them Jonah. And you know what's interesting about that story is when destruction was assured, at least Nineveh was smart enough to repent of their sins and turn back to God. And God said, okay, I won't destroy you. You know what? You might be the person that's going to stem the destruction and stop it from happening. But ladies and gentlemen, every time that we pray, Lord, bring us together all as one under you, there's some things that you have to be reminded of, because God promised I'm never going to flood the earth again, but there's going to come a day when I will destroy everything in it. Isaiah 24:1-3 says this, see, the Lord is going to lay waste to the earth and devastate it. He will ruin its face and scatter its inhabitants. It will be the same for the priest as for the people. None of us get away with this, all right? For the master and for the servant, for the mistress and for the maid, for the seller and for the buyer, for the borrower and for the lender, for the debtor as for the creditor. The earth will be completely laid waste and totally plundered. The Lord has spoken his word. Malachi 4:1, surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble. And that day is coming. Will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left of them. Peter said in 2 Peter 3:9 through 13, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That means he's holding back his destruction of things that we know and understand, because he's waiting and he wants you to be saved and everyone else you know to be saved. He says, but then he goes on to say, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, he asks some questions. What kind of people ought you to be? And he says, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to that day, the day of God, and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destructions of the heaven by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth and a home, the home of the righteousness. You know, times are tough. Persecution is inevitable. And that's when Peter wrote this. He wrote it and ends up beaten and crucified upside down. He says, there's a day coming when God will rescue the righteous. But it comes at the destruction of all the unrighteous. And he asks this incredible question for us in this passage and gives us the answers, because he knows that we'll try to answer it our own way. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? And he says, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Why does that matter? If we've trusted and believed in Jesus, why does this matter? Why does it matter how we live? Well, first of all, Jesus died to free you from your sin, forgive you and free you from your sins. That means that you're not supposed to walk in that way any longer. You're supposed to walk in his ways and be perfect like him. He says, now, before you couldn't, but now you can and you should and you ought to do that. See, it's not just enough to believe in Jesus and slide into heaven smelling like smoke. We need to keep our faith and beliefs not private, not hidden in a world bent on destruction, but shining like a bright light. Last night on the way back from Indiana, we were over there hanging out with the kids, and we rounded this corner on 80 coming around, and there was this billboard that was like the size of the whole front of the church, and it's an LED billboard. And it was lit up so bright as I rounded the curve. I'm like, oh my goodness, that is bright. And I'm like, I can't speed up much more because, you know, I'm already doing 80. Come on, I got to get past this sign. It's too bright. I can't hardly see, right? See, that's how we're supposed to live for God with our faith. Shining that brightly in a dark world. Yeah, most of us are hiding it under a bushel. We're trying to tiptoe through landmines of the world, hoping to get through with just ourselves intact and maybe a few close people, so heaven's not that boring and we got people to talk to that might like us still. But ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we put our faith in how we live where our mouth is, because people are looking for truth right now, more so than ever. And they just might find it in us. You know, I have a subscription to Motor Trend On Demand, and I love different car shows, and there's this drag racing show on there, and they got this redneck hillbilly that's on Street Outlaws, fastest in America, and his name's J.J. the Boss. He's from Memphis, so he talks like that. And it's a fun show to watch because when rednecks are in charge, it's always going to be a good time. And they were had this race between Kentucky and these guys in Wyoming. And I know you guys are bored, but it's okay. He'll be all right. It'll be over soon. But here they're racing, and there's this woman. She's like a little teacup, short and stout. And the only thing bigger in her physical size is her mouth. And this woman's got an attitude, and she cusses and has an attitude that would make sailors run and plug their ears. Fights with everyone not on her team. Whether by words or fists, she don't care. And her husband is this big, he's okay, here she is, and here he is, like, and he's like, yeah, 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 doing his thing, right? And so he finally gets up to race his race, and I'm like, I wonder if he's gonna do how he's gonna do in this. And he pulls up there in this 68 Camaro, and it's orange and everything else, and in the grill of his Camaro is this cross lit up. I stopped the episode and backed up and looked at that. And I was like, are you kidding me? There, fixed it. I know. I sat there and I backed up the episode so I could look and see, is that really what I thought I saw? I mean, 2 minutes ago, as they're getting ready to race, he's cussing this guy out, saying he's going to kill him, and if he doesn't beat him, he's going to beat him after the race on the side of the road. And then on the front of the car is this lit-up cross, and it was right side up. I figured it should be at least upside down, because the way he was acting was not exactly portraying a right-side-up cross in his life. And he races, and he loses, and I went, yes, you know. I should be rooting for the guy because the front of his car says he's on the side I'm on. But his actions and his words, See, I was shocked to see one thing on the front of his car and one thing with his life. And my question is, how many people are shocked by us? That we sit here, claim to follow Christ, and when they see us outside, they go, really? I didn't know you were a Christian. See, we're like that for somebody. But you know what? We can be the opposite too. That people can look and say, man, there is something totally different within about you. What is it? It's got to be something big, because you're different than anybody I've ever met in my life. And we can say it's because of Jesus. All right, ready? Last story, and we're done. Saw this little story on Facebook. One Sunday, young preacher gets up and introduces a longtime family friend. Said, this man is someone super influential in my life. He's been there a lot of years. He's been a great mentor. I want to introduce him and let him say whatever he wants to say. And he gets up and he tells a story about a father and a son and his son's best friend who went out on a boat, and they went out fishing, and the boat capsized. And in the middle of this chaos of the boys and he in the water, the father had a life ring and a rope. And he said the father knew he could only save one of them for sure, but he didn't know if he could save both of them. And he looks out and sees his son
been a son's friend. He knows his son's a Christian and loves Jesus, but he doesn't know where his friend stands. So he says, "Son, I love you," and throws the ring over to his best friend. And by the time he got him reeled in, his son had drowned. They didn't even find his body. And with that, the old man sat down. The preacher preached and closes the service. And this young man comes up to the old man and says, "Sir, that's a nice story. But do you really expect me to believe that a father would sacrifice his own son to save his best friend?" And the old man smiled. Said the boy who drowned was my son. The boy who saved is your preacher. So you tell me. You know, ladies and gentlemen, what we do with our faith and our trust and our hope matters. How we live and the choices we make and the things we do matter. What illustration of truth and trust and faith in God are you writing with your life that people and God are watching? Are you living a life of love? Are you living a life of integrity? Are you living a life in such a way that people are being drawn to him? Or are you like that lit up cross in the front of a guy's Camaro? God's asking the question of all of us and saying, "You tell me." The lives that we live and the decisions we make and the focus we have and the faith powering our actions matter. And that's the only thing that brings us together in a world that's trying to rip itself apart. It's the only way that we will ever be one nation under God once again. So it's time to get to work. We're going to pray and have our closing song. And then on your way out, when the song is done, offering plates are at the doors. You know what to do with them. And after the closing song, you'll be dismissed. So let's pray. Oh, Father God, I am so thankful that you are seated on your throne. May you be high and lifted up in our lives and the decisions we make, the things that we do. May they be more than just things we talk about. Lord, may we truly love like you would love and live like you lived. And may we truly make a difference in this world that draws people to you. May our faith and trust and belief in you burn so brightly that people see it and wonder what it's all about. And Lord, not if, but when the tough decisions come and we're trying to make the choice of throwing the life ring or doing the right thing, may we do it with someone's eternity in mind more than our own. And may you receive glory and honor and praise through everything that we do and with the lives that we live. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
You're hidden.